Do you hate to clean house? You're not alone. But every so often, it needs to be done. Maybe something that you need is buried under the morass of papers or clothes tossed carelessly aside as you run in and out day after day, and you just have to find that thing. Or you might have received word that dear old Aunt Tilly and her white glove is due for a visit. You'd hate to have her report back to your mother that all her efforts to teach you neatness were in vain. Or have you invited someone to visit, and out of concern that they might discover how you really live, you feel the need to tidy up and make the place presentable. Or I can even imagine a scenario in which cleaning is an excuse to put off doing something else which is even less appealing. Even if you hate and dread house cleaning, every so often it needs to be done. In truth, the same might be said about the way we live our lives. Sometimes the things which should be of the greatest importance get buried or lost. Things like faith or concern for fundamental issues of justice, the sense of charity and love for others. We know they're there. We just can't quite put our hands on them at any particular moment. We'd be horrified to have anyone look into the untidiness of our personal and spiritual lives. So from time to time, we see the need to unclutter and make room for something truly important to find a place to take root. When it comes to our lives, it isn't always fun or easy to clean them up, but every so often it needs to be done. That, in a nutshell, was the message of John the Baptizer, about whom today's gospel spoke. It must have been a really frightening thing to have been standing by the Jordan when John, empowered by the Spirit of God, began his preaching. There was one thing for sure. You couldn't read through the Sunday bulletin during one of John's pointed homilies. He didn't take the easy road of preaching about what was wrong with those other people. Read disgruntled Episcopalians? No, he had the audacity to target the people standing right before him. Nor did he excuse from his tirades those who considered themselves the religious elite. A former teacher at seminary paraphrased, "You brood of vipers," as, "Your mothers are slimy, cold, slithering snakes." That would jolt a lethargic homily listener awake, I imagine. But behind John's rash and passionate language was his impatience with those actions that he saw as unworthy of the kingdom of God which was about to dawn. He denounced the people's selfishness and neglect of those in need. He railed against the fraud and dishonesty and corruption rampant in society. He proclaimed that those who considered themselves to be God's chosen people were unworthy of that honor, but that they could prepare themselves to participate in the age to come if they repented of their sins and changed their lives. In John the Baptist's view, it was time for true, deep, house-cleaning repentance. The kind of turning to God's ways that would lead to new life in God's kingdom. Turning around to face God and the knowledge that God takes us seriously enough to exercise judgment. to care what we become. That turning is the meaning of repentance. It's the way we do our spiritual house cleaning as the children of God. Repentance is not an act of self-loathing, any more than the actions of a swimmer who is drowning and turns from facing the ocean to facing and swimming towards the shore is engaging in an act of self-loathing. Repentance is claiming a new direction and a way of living that turns toward the good news of the mercy of God. And need it be said that repentance must be of the sort that cleans the attic and the basement, as well as the living room. It has to search out those things we hold on to, though they may not be attractive enough for public display in the living quarters. Things like racial or religious or homosexual intolerance, bigotry, cheating on taxes, spousal abuse or substance abuse, those secret disorders stashed away from view. Repentance, to be real, can't be of the superficial shoving junk into a drawer or beneath the bed. Now think for a moment about our worship here on most Sundays. We make a general confession of our sins before we gather around the table to receive the holy gifts. Isn't it interesting that as much as spiritual house cleaning may be a personal cure, it's something we know we must also do as a community, so that we might become the people of God whose faith and lives are centered in Christ Jesus. There is still far to go as a nation and as a church. Bickering and hating use up the energy that could be used to sweep away the cobwebs of racial division in our nation, an unyielding argument in our church. But there is more. True repentance is house cleaning with a purpose. It's not simply clearing out the detritus, as important as that is. It's cleaning out in order to make room for the Spirit of God to operate in our lives. John, the baptizer, taught the importance of repentance. Like house cleaning, we might not feel like doing it every so often, it needs to be done. Further, we're reminded in today's collect that Advent's expectancy and hope are rooted in the actions of the Holy One, who wants always to be with us and be shown in the incarnation of our Lord, of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. So we pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, world without end. Amen.